This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
And for that small town police force, tracking this was, I mean, it was nearly impossible. I mean, look, even when you get the FBI involved, because that's how far this went. The FBI, federal investigators, ended up subpoenaing records from the apps because it was getting that dark. I mean, and when you have this constant churn of threat coming at you, even if it's not direct, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to hurt you. It was asking for them to hurt themselves. And then it got to the point where there were some threats of either you do it or we'll do it for you. So you started to really worry. I mean, if you're a parent, you'd be free. Like, my God, somebody's threatening my kid. What the hell is going on? Why is this even happening? You're gonna take it to the next level because this person doesn't seem to know any bounds of what's okay and what's not. Are they here? Are they even in this school? You don't know the answer. So the FBI gets involved and they subpoena the records from the apps looking for an IP address. Well, the FBI, they dug. They went to the VPN area. They went to the place that these numbers, essentially, I'm just trying to make it as simple sounding as I can, were being generated from. And then from there, they subpoenaed that information, and that could tell us, well, who was requesting, what IP address, what computer is speaking to this one saying we need fake phone numbers? Because that's going to tell you who's behind all of it. And the reveal? It wasn't a classmate. It was not a jealous peer. The IP traced back to the girl in this story, her name is Lauren, in case you forgot, back to her home. So what's going on? Initially, some people were thinking, was she doing this? Was she sending these to herself for attention? I mean, it's not out of the question. There's all sorts of, young girls, young boys, you know, that will do things for attention. I mean, to very extreme degrees. And then it's exposed. And it's like, why were you doing that? And it's a cry for help in some way, shape, or form, but ultimately to get attention. But here's the thing. It wasn't her. It was not Lauren texting these things to herself for attention. The person who was literally texting someone, you should kill yourself if you don't do it soon, maybe we will, things of that nature. Horrible, horrible graphic messages about the boyfriend, about the relationship.
Yeah, you don't even want to read those because they were disgusting.
Mom was doing it. Kendra Licari, her mom. Turned out she was the one.
Mother.
Yeah.
That's when I'm texting you going, you've got to watch this.
She even posed as a concerned parent.
Of course she did. She had to cover her own ass.
She stayed in touch with the police about the investigation. And at one point, tried to even frame another student.
Mm-hmm.
So other families and other people who are looking at this family, going, oh my God, this is horrible. I can't believe this is happening to your daughter. We got to figure this out. They're putting their voices on the line. They're putting their names on the line, trying to come to a conclusion. And they were pointing at other kids. Other parents are pointing at other kids, and they're openly saying this to authorities and others, and there's no evidence coming back that points to it being the people that they think it is, because it's not. But there's people who are being ostracized, essentially getting a scarlet letter on them because they believe that this is who's doing it, but they just can't quite prove it. And this mom was willing to encourage that. Even though she knew she was the one who was doing it.
And there was one of the text messages that made it real specific. Mm-hmm. That she, so the daughter, Lauren, goes to her mom and they decide, oh, it has to be this one girl.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had something to do with scoring points in a basketball game. And the mom was the scorekeeper. Well, she's the only one who scored that many points that day. So the mom was intentionally setting that girl up.
She was trying to fill in the blanks for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And this girl is just going to high school. You know, she got nothing to do with any of this. She's not going after the boyfriend. She's got her own life she's leading. And the mom intentionally tried to set her up so it looked like her.
I mean, this is another case of a narcissist gone wild. I mean, this reminds me of the Donna Adelson case that we're covering in so many ways, except it's already been exposed. And all I can say to that young girl, that this is her mom, who she still, and we'll get to more of this, still willingly wants to have that relationship with. Trust me, you don't. It's not going to lead to anything good.
Right.
And mama ain't going to change. I mean, on the surface right now, seem like she's doing something different. Trust me. You're going to have a relationship with anybody in your life other than her for the rest of it. And considering you're like 18 right now, you probably will. Don't assume any of those will be healthy, successful relationships if she's in your world.
I think she's so young that she doesn't see that yet. And the mom, and
love moms.
Exactly. That was going to be what I was going to say. And I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. But the mom's over the top. And then, you know, she makes this girl feel like, whoopsie, it was just a mistake mom made. Mm-hmm. You know, because, and we'll get into mom and that. But I just feel so bad for her. The daughter, I just want to give her a hug and be like, I am really, really sorry this happened to you.
It's a difficult thing for a child of any age, whether it's an adult child of someone like this or it's an actual child still in their youth, mm-hmm. to try and wrap your mind around the idea that your parent would be using their power, their knowledge to manipulate you, to hurt you, to control the people around you, to control this narrative that's going on now. It's not just in your home. It's not just between you and your boyfriend. It's the community.
Right.
And willingly continue to dig into it and control everyone like a marionette.
But the mom at one point, she kind of explains it away as, I know Lauren's strong enough to handle this sort of thing. No. You don't know how deep that wound is. You know, she said some really hateful, horrific things.
Yeah.
And then she tries to spin it in such a way so the daughter forgives her. Look, I love you so much. You know, I have my own trauma, which is why I did that.
And that's what they all go back to. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, and there's probably some truth to that. But unfortunately, a lot of narcissists and monsters like this will then try to justify their monstrous behavior. Well, somebody did this to me. Well, that doesn't make it okay that you're doing this to somebody else. Well, I'm not saying it does. Well, the fact that you're bringing that up at all, really, you're trying to downplay, you're trying to denigrate the trauma that you've heaved over here on this person by saying, well, I'm hurt too. You're an adult. Figure your shit out.
You're a parent.
You're a parent. I don't give a shit. I don't care who raped you. I don't care who ran you over. I don't care anything that you've gone through. If you're doing this kid, this stuff to your own child, which makes it, I feel like, 1,000 times worse.
Right?
I'm sorry. You're the monster here. You always will be the monster. I wonder how much of a monster you were for more of your life than you're aware of. And I also very much question anyone's trauma story and the legitimacy of it. If you're willing to go to this length to manipulate people and your child and all that, how true is your trauma that you're suddenly just cannot control and it's affecting your life this way? How bad was it really?
And it wasn't like a week's worth of text. This went on for 2 years. Mm-hmm. This was a long-term she was in it for the long term. But I heard, I was reading online about it because, of course, I got very fascinated. And so I did a little deep dive online. I heard someone refer to it as cyber Munchausen.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a technical term, but it's, I guess
I don't. Kind of, yeah. I don't think it is, but yeah. I get what they were saying with that term.
Yeah,
that it was hurting. It sets the daughter up to be really, really, really hurt, and to run to the one person where she always finds comfort, and that's mom.
Yeah,
and I'm like, that kind of makes some sense to me. But I also think there's something else to it as well. That might be part of it. But
all of the healthy people in the world look at this and go, we got to put a label on it because we have to understand it. If we can put a label on it, there's a group of these people, they do things like this and they do it because of this and it makes them safer. They're over here in this category. Sometimes there's just horrible people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's just horrible, evil human beings who will lie, cheat, manipulate, steal, do whatever they need to so their inner whatever feels good on the inside. I mean, does it, again, probably begin somewhere with trauma somewhere? Yes, probably. But at the end of the day, they chose that path and they said, I'm going to go down this because this is the path of least resistance and this is how I'm going to live my life. And I'm not going to change. And I know it affects other people, my kids, my family, all this. I can see it, but it's me. So I'm going to do it and they're going to live with it and they're never going to figure it out. And a lot of people live their whole lives and people don't figure it out. Some do, but they just disappear. Oh, but then they get blamed. Oh, they I don't need them anyhow. I would say if one thing is true that I've learned about narcissists, borderlines, and things like that, when push comes to shove and shit's about to really hit the fan, there's one thing they all go to, and that is their own trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And their stories, they change. I've seen this in my own personal life, mm-hmm. someone who shared their own stories of their own trauma with me for years. And I understood the story. I understood the baseline of what it was. I understood it actually in great detail what it was. But when they were traumatizing other people and they were being held accountable for it, suddenly the stories of their own trauma reemerged, even though it had nothing to do with the current situation of what they were inflicting on someone else. It went back to their trauma stories, and those trauma stories ended up being like 10 times worse than the original version.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, wait a second here. Like, this is not remotely how you've said. And I get, you know, sometimes people, you know, they don't want to share it. And I get that. This is not that. This is posturing. This is acting. This is making it far worse than anything could possibly have been to get sympathy and empathy for your own absolutely awful, deplorable behavior, because there's no other way out of it.
See, I think she wasn't ever planning on getting caught. I think
they never are.
Things going on. I think she enjoyed the trauma that she was causing her daughter and like, mm-hmm. look, I'm here to help you.
Yeah.
I also think that she had a thing for Owen.
Yeah.
The boy. Because she was texting him some really sick, perverted things.
Yeah.
And the same things to the daughter and like, I don't even want to talk like that. It just really bothers me that this boy had to go through that and they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that there was your girlfriend's mom sent you those messages.
Yeah.
So I think in a way, I have to wonder if she didn't see the daughter as competition and she was interested in the boy.
I think there's a level of that she did. I think she was trying to live through her daughter as a lot of parents try to do live through their children, which is sickening. I think you have that. I think you have a lot of dark fantasies, dark control fantasies, all being met, all being fed and all being played out by what she was doing with this. She's controlling her daughter. She's clearly jealous of her daughter in many ways, shapes and forms. And the fact that she was able to essentially ruin her daughter's life, I think that made her feel good.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.